Welcome to Heart, Soul, and Data. This is a podcast about the art of science, the heart of data, and the soul of transformation. It is dedicated to amplifying the impacts of nonprofits, social enterprises, and the force of good everywhere through the power of analytics. I'll be your host. My name is Alexandra Mannerines. I come to nonprofit analytics in a rather roundabout way. Instead of a data scientist, I think of myself as a scientist who works with data. My training and background is actually in epidemiology and public health. I have a PhD from the University of Cambridge in, of all things, veterinary science. It's because I spent my PhD chasing fruit bats across Ghana and talking to the people who depended on them for food and money. We are trying to find out the risks of spillover from pathogens of the fruit bats into humans. I learned firsthand how to identify, ask, and answer the most impactful questions with limited resources and complex on-the-ground realities. Over the last decade, I've parlayed this research and scientific experience into something to help hospitals, health systems, educational nonprofits, and many others develop both the technical tools and the cultural mindset to turn data into actionable insights. Most recently, and closest to my heart, I've founded a data services and analytic education company that is devoted entirely to supporting nonprofits on their analytic journey. So why data? Why should we, with as little free time and strapped resources as nonprofits already have, expand our work to include analytics? It's a great question, not just because I asked it. To answer it, I want to take you back to London, the year 1854, to be precise. It's actually a time that would feel familiar to us right now because London at the time was gripped by a massive outbreak. Now, the scourge that London was facing wasn't a coronavirus, but a bacterium called Vibrio cholerae, the cause of cholera. As industrialization had brought more and more people to London, infectious diseases were running rampant, and cholera was one of the worst, killing hundreds of thousands of people in the 19th century. And to combat these challenges, London formed a new sanitation commission tasked with finding ways of reducing these deaths. But how were they to do that? The leading theory of the time was that miasmas, or bad air, caused diseases like cholera. And before you chortle knowingly like I did at this ridiculous idea, it actually made perfect sense in a world that knew nothing of bacteria or viruses. The hardest hit by cholera, after all, were the poorest and most overcrowded neighborhoods, the same neighborhoods that reeked from open sewage and other contaminants. The wealthy boroughs of London, on the other hand, they were lined with trees and open to the fresh air, and they were spared from both the horrendous smells and the high rates of cholera. After all, if such smells accompanied high rates of death from disease, it really was a small step to then make a causal connection. After all, we still do this today. We readily accept ideas and explanations that just make sense, even when, or perhaps especially when, we mean well and the action just feels like the right thing to do. And we do this even more when the real situation is complex. There might be many things that cause it, or it might be quite difficult to get to the real drivers underneath. We tell our children not to have sex or do drugs or smoke, and we think that having public service announcements that tell them these things will keep them from doing those things, right? Fires in the Rocky Mountains are dangerous, so it seems obvious that we should put them out as quickly as possible. Politicians, after all, talk all the time about common sense policies. As in, it's so obvious this policy will work, what other evidence would we need? But here's the problem. Abstinence and drug-free campaigns have been shown to have the opposite effect. Quashing the little fires in my home state of Colorado have, among other things, allowed a buildup of dry underbrush that actually feeds massive fires we can't control. And in London, in the 1800s, that miasma theory, it was an idea that was so convincing even the brilliant Florence Nightingale firmly supported it. But that theory of bad air led the newly appointed head of the Board of Health to order all that stinking open sewage to be diverted out of the city and straight into the Thames River. Here's the tragic, complicated reality. Cholera isn't caused by smells. It's most commonly caused when a person consumes water or food that's contaminated by feces from another person infected with cholera. And the Thames River provided many Londoners with their water. So that same river now contained even more contamination from infectious sewage. Fortunately, there was a physician, Dr. John Snow, who was skeptical of the miasma theory. And when the outbreak of 1854 happened in Soho, London, he headed straight into the heart of it. He was determined to find the data, the actual facts, to show what really caused cholera. Going door to door with an assistant, he mapped every single cholera death in that neighborhood. His ghost map, as it is often now called, revealed a striking pattern. The deaths clustered around a single pump on Broad Street. His information was enough to convince the borough leaders to remove the handle of that pump and end the outbreak. But Dr. Snow didn't stop there. He went on to show that the recipients of water from providers that were sourcing their water downstream of London were far more likely to fall ill with cholera than those who received water upstream from London. After all, those providers pulling downstream from London were getting all of the contamination of the diverted sewage in the water that they were then pumping to the citizens. His critical data and research helped transform how the ministers of health and sanitation in London managed sewage and water, and it doubtlessly saved tens of thousands of lives. And this is the whole point of this story. When we rely purely on common sense, on what feels right, we can find ourselves going astray. As nonprofits and social enterprises, we have a responsibility to be the best stewards we can of our resources. We owe it to those we serve to ensure that we are constantly seeking ways of increasing just how much impact we can have. And a deep commitment to data and analytics is a critical part of achieving those responsibilities. If Dr. Snow hadn't been able to use on-the-ground data to test and ultimately disprove the prevailing ideas and presumptions of his peers, how many thousands more would have fallen ill and possibly died? How do we know that our programs actually do what they say they do? Or that our fundraising campaigns actually achieve the funding we need for our missions? How do we know that our hiring practices actually reflect our intentions? Or that whatever we're striving to do inside our organization, how do we know that they're going the directions we want them to go unless we take the time to find the data? How do we know that we aren't, even accidentally, just diverting more cholera into people's drinking water? This podcast is named what it is because data aren't just the cold, heartless numbers that we most often make them out to be. Data can serve as the voice of the voiceless. High-quality analytics can ensure that everyone is equally represented, not just the loud and powerful. And data aren't just for the fundraising team. Yes, the success of your latest mailer campaign is really important, but that's not the whole analytics story, not by a long shot. Impactful metrics can help everywhere from volunteer management and HR to program evaluation and strategic planning and everywhere in between. Data-driven decision-making also isn't about abandoning your values or your passions or your organization's mission that drive you and guide you. It's really about lighting the brightest possible lamp to find your way there through the darkness of the unknown. Following analytic insights isn't about handing over your authority to the machines, but rather about putting science into service to achieve what you most believe in and achieving it faster and more effectively. Becoming a true learning organization driven by sustainable analytics isn't just a dream for Silicon Valley. It's not just a reality for the giant foundations or the 1%. No matter the size of your nonprofit, or whether you're a social enterprise of one, you can leverage the tools and data that you do have to put analytics to work for you. And it's okay if you don't know how yet. That's why I'm launching this podcast. So here, through interviews with experts and your peers, we will explore the many paths up the analytic mountain. I am deeply honored to be with you along this journey. And with that, I hope to catch you on our next episode, an interview with an executive director who's already walking this path with courage and determination. Until then, be well.